Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column for the Wall Street Journal. And before our last conversation, Joe was looking at central bankers. He wrote a column about central bankers, chiefly emphasizing Jerome Powell, who's the chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank, the central bank of the solar system sometimes. Before he left, and I haven't had a chance to converse with Joe about the economy in the U.S., about the economy in Europe, the global economy, and bonds. Bonds as a reflection of expectation of recovery. Joe, as I understand it, Mr. Powell said, and you quote him at length in your column, Mr. Powell said that he's been talking about tapering. Before we begin debating, what does that mean, Joe? Please translate.
Oh, who knows what it needs, which has been the fascinating thing about the past 2 weeks. I mean, you might well wonder, why are we still talking about a Federal Reserve policy meeting in a press conference that happened nearly 2 weeks ago now? And the answer is people are still trying to figure out what the Fed was saying. There were these hints that they might try to tighten policy sooner than people expected, and there have been more hints to that effect subsequently. But then there have also been other hints that maybe they wouldn't, and the markets, some investors have thought maybe it will all be okay in the end, and other people still think the Fed is losing sight of inflation or financial stability or any of these other problems they ought to be thinking about. And, this raises a real problem for the Fed, because the Federal Reserve has fallen into this habit of engaging in open mouth operations instead of open market operations. It talks a lot about what it will do at some point in the future in the hope that simply by talking about it, the Fed can guide markets in a particular direction. And that instead is set up the situation where sometimes the market doesn't know what exactly the Fed is trying to say, because the Fed will tread so carefully in its statements, specifically in an attempt to achieve a particular market outcome. And you end up with this very circular situation that's really confusing and raises a question about whether the Fed is really looking at the right measures of success. Should it be thinking as much as it does about the stock market or the bond market reaction to a specific Fed statement? If the Fed is worried about that, are they taking their eyes off of problems like inflation?
I read your column, Joe, and I look around for ways to explain this to myself, because I don't normally think central banker. In your column, I believe you explore the possibility that the Fed has not become a leader. It's become almost a therapist for the markets. When the markets get upset, the Fed speaks. When the Fed speaks, the markets get upset. Is that a way to think of Jerome Powell's role these days, calming down the anxiety of people who are doing better?
Yes, it's a weird kind of thing where they do seem to think that this calming of market volatility is a key part of what the Fed is supposed to do. And it never used to be like that. There was many decades when the main thing that the Fed would do was to do things. And that would leave markets to make guesses in the run-up to Fed meetings about, the market's own guess about the market, the economic data that were available and how the Fed might respond to that. And then if the Fed surprised markets one direction or the other, they would kind of live with that. And somehow we've ended up in the situation where the Fed has decided that it has no tolerance for that kind of market upset. But what that means is that the markets and investors have discovered that if they throw a tantrum like a petulant toddler, they can elicit a certain response from the Fed. You saw that in 2013 with this taper tantrum, where the markets threw what is now called a tantrum When then Chairman Ben Bernanke suggested that the Fed might scale back on some of its bond purchases under quantitative easing, and the market successfully scared Chairman Bernanke and the Fed away from pushing forward with that normalization for a while. So, you know, the funny thing about this is, again, the Fed thinks that it is controlling markets, but it also opens itself up to the possibility that maybe the markets start driving the Fed because the you know, monetary officials worry so much about how the market might respond to the things that they do.
There is good news, Joe. The Consumer Confidence Board the Consumer Board says our confidence is almost back to where it was before the pandemic. Even Europe has good news because they're shopping. And maybe it's too rosy, but there it is. We're paying more for cars. We're paying more for houses. We've got money in our pocket. All of that means, of course, the bond market gets to respond by raising rates, which what happens in a recovery is the bond market makes money a little more expensive. Naturally, it's competitive. So the bond markets are going to go up a little bit. Even the long term will go up a little bit. Isn't that all normal, Joe? Does that require a therapist? Does that require somebody to make a house call to the big shareholders and say, don't worry, you don't have to sell your silver?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of what I find so perplexing about this situation that we're in right now, because we are basically, you know, from a policy perspective, pathologizing things that ought to be normal market reactions to the data. And in fact, the, you know, it used to be that we thought that those market reactions were sending us valuable signals about investors' guesses about where the economy was heading. That used to be the whole point of having a market. And yet now somehow, policymakers have persuaded themselves that this is a pathology in some way. And I think that people need to understand how dangerous that is, because the financial markets exist for a reason. And part of that reason is to digest uncertainty about the future and kind of chew over economic data as it comes out and try to come up with some kind of, you know, diverse market investors' estimate about what all of that data means. And we should be taking those signals seriously instead of constantly trying to talk the market around one way or the other to suit what policymakers think the market should be doing.
The puzzle then going forward, the recovery is in place and the central bankers can relax. They've done their job, but I want to connect this to the politics, to what is talked about in Washington. They're talking about something as well, which is more of the so-called stimulus packages, some for infrastructure, some for direct entitlements. Your newspaper, the Wall Street Journal, calls it entitlements forever. Does that connect to a central banker role? Is that something that central bankers such as Mr. Powell would think they have to participate in by, let's put it this way, by reminding people we're not recovered yet, or reminding people there could be a sharp turn ahead, or reminding people the reason I'm not raising rates till 2023 is because I'm worried. Does that connect to the politics?
Well, I think there are two big dimensions here where there is a connection between that kind of entitlement spending, which will be permanent, and these monetary policy issues. And so the first is the market, left to its own devices, ought to be sending an important signal about this, because remember, interest rates affect in a very material way the terms on which the government is going to be able to finance all of this, since so much of it will require deficit spending where the Treasury is going to have to issue bonds every year to cover it. So wouldn't it be nice if we had some form of market interest rate on that Treasury debt so that members of Congress and the Biden administration would understand what the actual cost of this is likely to be, instead of always having the central bank leaning on those interest rates. And, you know, that leads to the second problem that you're going to end up with here, is that the more of this deficit spending that happens and the bigger the government's debt becomes as a response, the greater the pressure on the Federal Reserve to perpetually suppress interest rates so that the debt service will be more affordable. So I think that, you know, this is a great example of how we're really hurting ourselves, and we're hurting the Congress's ability to make good policy on these things by not having market signals about that debt and how much it's likely to cost and what the economic implications of that debt might be.
Talking about tapering sounds to me like bad weather activity, and the weather's too good in the United States right now. So we're going to turn to travel. Joe's going to inform us what the rules are now. They're changing all the time about travel to Europe, travel to London, travel to Italy, travel to the continent. How and why? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.